7 o'clock. Thanks for joining us, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Wild win for the Mavericks last night, taking down the team that beat them last year in the RMAC tournament, eliminated them from the tournament last year.
It was essentially the same pitching matchup through eight or six and a half innings as it was last year.
Cowles guy.
Cowles and Handy, and then Gage Edwards relieving. It got different at the end because, well, obviously the Mavs won.
Cooper Vasquez gets the win in relief.
Yes, he does.
Hayden McGeary, homers, RMAC player of the year once again for the second straight year. But Julian Boyd, it was the Julian Boyd show.
Yeah, it was.
In the ninth inning. Coming off the bench, throws out a runner at home. And Chris Hanks had talked about, you know, he could throw the ball around, you know, 96 miles an hour.
Yeah, he's high 90s from the outfield.
Yeah, he's got an incredible arm. Throws out a runner at home. And then drives in the winning run as the Mavericks will take on CSU Pueblo today, 3 o'clock. You and I,
yep,
back the together again.
The A-team, if you will.
Okay.
And me.
And I would, yesterday, no, you were probably the A-team, and I was like the C-minus team yesterday.
I don't know, because my voice hasn't had a lot of time to recover, but it sounds a lot better now than it did at the end of that game last night.
Okay.
We were getting a little dry, if you know what I mean.
That happens. Well, my deal yesterday was I got my second booster, and I felt good when I got it Tuesday. I felt okay. And then I got here yesterday, and I'm like, whoa. Concentration level low. Not that it's ever great to begin with, but what little I do possess was gone, and it was a hard day yesterday.
You were on the struggle bus yesterday.
It was tough, and I acknowledged it. It was tough yesterday. Felt a little dizzy at times. It was kicking my butt yesterday, but feel much, much better today. So, we'll have the Mavericks and CSU Pueblo today. Pregame at 2:45. First pitch at 3 o'clock from the Diamond at the Bergman Sports Complex. That is the official name. We've been calling it Bergman Field.
And that's really probably long.
That's, just call it the Diamond.
And complicated and a mouthful.
Just say the Diamond.
Bergman Field.
I think you're okay if you want to say Bergman Field too. But that the official name is the Diamond at the Bergman Sports Complex. Just letting you know. All right, so Rockies lose again. Oh, the Rockies are, it's just.
Can you try, though? Can you at least try at some point?
Oh, and I love Bud Black saying yesterday after they lost, well, we're trying too hard right now. We're pressing. We're trying too hard. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure, Bud. If that's what you want to try to convince yourself, talk yourself into, sure.
If that's how you go to sleep at night.
That makes you feel better. 10 straight losses now to the Giants for the Rockies. Rockies go 1-5 in their road trip. Remember, like, oh, they're playing really well on the road.
Yeah, they're winning road series.
They won the series at Texas. They won the series at Detroit. No. 1-5 in the series. You get the one win at Arizona. They got outscored 33-13. This is from Patrick Saunders in the Post, by the way. Just third time in franchise history, they did not hit a home run a road trip of six games or longer. I don't know what to say right now. Errors have absolutely killed them. Killed them. Two more errors yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They're 25th in fielding percentage right now in baseball.
Ryan McMahon is just not having a good year.
No,
at the hot corner.
That is a fair statement about Ryan McMahon.
So at 6 or 7 now, I think, for Ryan McMahon, error-wise?
Yeah, something like that.
Bottom third's all on the interstate. Hilliard, Hampson, Nunez, 145, 174, 160. Tanks for nothing. This is the Rockies team we kind of expected, right? at least this year.
Yeah, because the one that we saw to start the season, it's like, hey, wait a minute, this may not be too bad after all.
Yeah.
This might be okay. And here we are, you know, where they lose, you know, now 10 straight to the Giants. Division team that they just cannot win at Oracle. Whatever you want to call it, AT&T, Oracle.
Doesn't matter.
Does not matter. Candlestick, it does not matter. They can't win there. You can call it whatever you want. And it doesn't change anything. McMahon's now got 5 errors. That's 5 errors on the season. And he, Jose Iglesias has got 4. Yeah,
that's not good either. That left side, 10 errors.
That's not good. Not good at all.
And again, it's just kind of dudes for the Giants. I mean, Crawford got his last
Crawford
night.
Always finds a way in a series against the Rockies to do something
to them.
So does
Brandon Belt.
Yes,
he does. They should be nearing retirement, hopefully. Brandon Belt, former JUCO guy, he's 34. This is his age 34 season, so he's been doing this for a while. You know, but Estrada, Gonzalez, Wade, Lamonte Wade Jr., whoever that is, came into the game hitting 125, and he goes 3-for-4.
Yeah. Speaking of Brandon Belt, San Jack for Brandon Belt, played in the JUCO World Series. We'll talk with San Jack coach Tom Arrington later on this morning, right around 9:20.
Transition.
Oh, thank you. So we got a lot to get to today. Central girls soccer. We're going to talk with Doug Beach, their coach, in a few minutes. They have never won a postseason soccer game, boys or girls soccer, ever in the history of the school.
I can't say that anymore.
Now you can say that's not correct because yesterday, Leanna Bryant, couple of goals. Central beats Holy Family in overtime in the 4A tournament. So we're going to talk with Doug Beach, who's got to be on cloud nine. I mean, this team, we saw how they improved throughout the course of the season. And now, here they are into the second round of the 4A State Girls Soccer Tournament with a historic first ever win in the postseason for boys or girls soccer at Central High School.
And look, we talk about it in all sorts of sports, and it still applies even for here. Multi-sport athletes kind of learning how to win.
Yep.
It's mixing two different things we talk about, but in this case, it really is appropriate. The top three warriors at any given moment on the soccer pitch all are on the basketball team.
Exactly.
Who've been through some lean years, but have been winning fairly consistently with some of these players being first, second player off the bench.
Taylor Wagner's squad. Daughters, and of course on the basketball
Alex
court.
Brent, you got Leanna Bryant, Jasmine Hernandez, Lauren Spencer.
Yeah.
All three of those girls.
All kids that know how to win.
Significant minutes for Mary Doan's basketball team.
Exactly. And speaking of Taylor Wagner, CMU women's coach, doing a little moonlighting yesterday. He's got a side hustle.
Oh, really?
Running camera for the RMAC video site, the RMAC network.
Look at that.
I talked to Taylor for a moment. He goes, because he never done it. And so he's out there doing it. And he goes, yeah, my only problem is a couple times. There was a time where the ball was hit to left, and he said, my car's out there. And instead of tracking where the ball was initially, I remember what he said. I'm kind of paraphrasing here. He went like directly to his car to see if his car was going to be hit by the ball. Then, oh, yeah, I better pull it back and better.
That's what I do.
But yeah, it was kind of funny. He's like, yeah, I don't think he's going to make a career out of it, though.
My car almost got hit last night.
Really?
I had it parked out by the lacrosse field, and I think that's where Hayden McGarry's home run landed.
In McGarry land?
Yeah, in McGarry land. He hit that one into orbit. The wind was knocking down fly balls left and right. Playing half, it didn't matter. He could hit, like I told Vern last night, he could hit that ball into Hurricane Andrew, and it would not have stopped it from going over the fence. The left fielder for UCCS was just like, nope.
Never mind.
Why? Why would I even move?
Back-to-back RMAC Player of the Year, Hayden McGarry.
Yeah.
Congratulations to him.
He ruined the structural integrity of that baseball.
Yes, he did, from what it sounded like when you called that. So, busy show today. We have a lot to get to. Going to try to bring on the skipper, Chris Hanks, later on this morning, 8 o'clock hour. Fertile Monument lacrosse coach Kevin Costanza is going to join us after their overtime win over Dakota Ridge.
Yeah.
Doug Beach, Central soccer coach.
What's going on when I pulled up the lacrosse match?
Yeah. You know, of course, yesterday over at Community Hospital Unity Field. So we'll talk with Kevin coming up later on. Tom Arrington, the coach of San Jacinto North out of Houston, Texas. We continue to talk with the coaches who could very well have teams here in Grand Junction for the Junior College World Series. Also tonight, it's the big night, right, in the NFL? It is the schedule release night, which we know who the Broncos are going to be playing.
This is important because we tell you it's important. Exactly. That's what the NFL's doing.
That's what they do. So the schedule releases tonight. So the big rumor, though, that was coming out yesterday from Mile High Report, I saw them reporting this on the local TV news yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They finally got around to saying this is from Mile High Report and it's a rumor, because it was kind of being reported as fact. Initially,
it's a fan blog, guys. You got to kind of take that for what you will.
According to Mile High Report, what their rumor, Broncos at Seattle, Sunday Night Football Week 1, which would make sense. It's Russ going back to see his buddies, the 12th man,
mm-hmm.
going back to Seattle. Drew Locke against his old team.
If Rob Manfred was in charge of the NFL, that would be the London game.
Probably so, because that would be the genius move on Rob Manfred's part.
It's like, watch this.
We're going to take what should have been an incredible matchup and make it just seem rather insignificant, because we're going to play it, you know, 7-8 hours away.
Yeah.
Or in the case of Seattle fans, like, 11-12 hours mm-hmm. away.
We're going to play Rams-Chargers in Germany.
Because that seems like a great idea, right? Because if it's at SoFi, nobody would show up, I'm sure.
Germany likes yellow.
Yeah, exactly. Also last night, they finally made it official, the thing we already knew. Congratulations, Nikola Jokic, back-to-back MVP. It's kind of anticlimactic, right? Because it all came
out. We've known for like 2 days.
Tuesday. And so, it's now official. And it's okay.
All right. Hey, how about that?
That's what happens when stuff gets leaked like this.
Mm-hmm.
It takes for the NFL, stuff like this doesn't happen, right?
Not usually.
They usually keep a pretty tight lid on it.
Mm-hmm.
And Woj is the one that had the report. If you're the NBA, I'm saying, okay, we need to put a lid on this stuff.
Right.
Because does it not take away from, okay, it's official, yay, we already knew. He was probably going to be right about it.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian Wojnarowski does pretty good job of vetting and making sure the I's are dotted and T's are crossed.
Yeah.
So I just think if you're the NBA, you're Adam Silver, aren't you a little... You be okay over there?
My eyes have been bothering me all morning.
But you be okay. I don't want to have
I'm good.
Please don't have some kind of episode where I have to use the very limited first aid skills that I have.
If anything, I would go tired Franzen.
Okay, so. You're gonna nod off. Okay. Yeah. You're gonna be Stevie B on me, right? You're gonna have to bang on the window. Wake up, dude.
Maybe. Wake up. Very likely could happen. But you're right about the NBA. It's like. And it's the same theory as the schedule release, right? The NFL doles out all their awards on one night. It's Super Bowl week. Everybody's there except the guys that are playing in the Super Bowl.
There's speculation, but...
And it's a spectacle.
Right.
Why is this a big deal? Because it's a big deal. We're telling you it's a big deal. The NBA, well, we'll leak out awards here. Major League Baseball, we'll spread them out over 3 weeks in November.
Which is just stupid.
You know, and it's so... Again, the NFL rules the landscape because they tell you they're ruling the landscape. Right?
They plant their flag wherever they want to. And they go, what are you going to do about it?
The biggest sports event, the second Thursday in May... is the NFL release party. Major League Baseball's in full swing. Stanley Cup playoffs. NBA playoffs. schedule release. The games we already know are going to happen.
We're just going to know
in order.
Yeah, in the order and what time they're going to be played
is the most anticipated event of the week.
Yeah,
because the NFL tells you it's the most anticipated event,
and you go, okay,
yep, that's right. They're right. Let's schedule release. Let's see it, baby. It's just the order. It's like, well, we got all these numbers, 1 through 10, scattered, but we're going to put them in order tonight.
And tell you what time that the games are going to happen. And there we are. We are captivated. We are mesmerized. Yeah. We are glued to our phone or the TV or mm-hmm. the radio or whatever, saying, okay, tell me more.
And we're kind of like, you know, the big dumb goat in the yard, like, okay. Just staring at let's see it. Got Broncos Seahawks. Oh my god, I didn't know that. Actually, I did. What time? What network?
Well, we do know two of the Broncos right. games. October 30th in London against Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Christmas Day against the Rams. So we do know two already. Now the rest will fall into place. And will it be? I mean, because it does make sense, right?
Yeah.
Broncos at Seattle.
But when that trickles out, it doesn't ruin the actual announcement, like
no.
the Joker MVP thing.
No, because it's, I mean, Ward Jarnowski reports it as, this is fact.
Yeah.
This is happening. Boom. Schedule release, it's, well, we're kind of hearing this, and this may be true, but it might not be true. And so there's wiggle room there.
Like
there,
everybody but Sixers fans and some of the very hardcore Nikola Jokic Nuggets fans, everybody else is done already with the MVP. They're like, hey, Joker won it. All right, let's move on. Did you see what the Grizz did to the Warriors last night? They're already yeah. past it, and yeah. it's not even technically official.
Yeah, it's done. And so, okay, whoop-de-doo. Yeah, you're telling us something that we already knew. Mm-hmm. All right, 7:17. So what about Broncos at Seattle, if that is the opener for the Broncos? They could be a great way to open the season. A lot of intrigue. If you're a Broncos fan and a Seattle fan. All right, so text or call us today. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340.
What's happening?
All right, Rockies dropped their 10th straight game to the Giants. The San Francisco beat Colorado 7-1 Wednesday at Oracle Park. Rockies starter Chad Kuhl lost his first game of the season as he gave up 5 runs and 7 hits with 8 strikeouts, 3 walks, and 4 2/3. Colorado ends the road trip with a 1-5 record.
We'll bounce back. We got a good group. The guys are frustrated, but you know it's part of the long season.
Okay, sure, Bud. That's Bud Black, by the way, Rockies manager. Colorado's lost 9 of the last 10 away from Coors Field as they return home to host Kansas City tomorrow night. Moving on to the NBA, it's now official. Nikola Jokic of the Denver Nuggets is the league's MVP. He captures it for the second straight season. Now, as far as last night in the NBA, it was Memphis drilling Golden State last night, 134-95. Warriors still lead that series 3-2. Elsewhere, it was Boston falling to Milwaukee 110-107. Bucks lead that series 3-2. And so those are your two games from yesterday in the NBA. As far as the NHL goes, Calgary beating Dallas 3-1 last night. The Flames lead that series 3-2. The President's Trophy winning Florida Panthers beat Washington 5-3. Panthers lead that series 3-2. Also, New York beat Pittsburgh 5-3. Pittsburgh still leads that series 3-2, but Sidney Crosby left that game with an apparent injury yesterday. All right, moving on to Colorado Mesa baseball. The Maverick baseball team had a wild one last night, a barn burner of a 9th inning, giving the Mavericks a 7-6 win over UCCS last night on the first night of the RMAC baseball tournament. Julian Boyd threw out a runner at the plate in the top of the 9th to keep it a 1-run game. Then the bottom of the final inning, after tying it at 6, Boyd continued the heroics with a walk-off single with the bases loaded. Mavs skipper Chris Hanks loved the way his bench played last night.
You know, Julian Boyd is our best hitters with runners on. He has the highest batting average on the team when runners are on. But before that, the walk is huge. Stevenson has had a little trouble this year being too aggressive, but he's growing up. Our bench has been good most of the year.
Hayden McGeary homered for CMU with Cooper Vasquez getting the win in relief. Mavs take on CSU Pueblo today at Bergman. Pregame on the Team Sports Network starts at 2:45, first pitch at 3. Coverage brought to you by Ken Richards, State Farm Insurance. For the second straight year, Colorado Mesa designated hitter Hayden McGeary is the RMAC Player of the Year. He is one of the leaders nationally in batting average and in home runs. He homered, as I mentioned, in last night's win over UCCS. The junior's also on the Golden Spikes watch list for the best amateur player. CMU third baseman Caleb Farmer joins McGeary in the first team with catcher Spencer Bramwell. Shortstop Chase Hamilton and pitcher Cannon Handy were also first-team selections. Right-handed pitcher Blake Rahm, relief pitcher Gage Edwards, and second baseman Harrison Rogers made the second team. Rahm also won the Summit Award for the RMAC's baseball postseason best student athlete. Mavs pitcher Ryan Day received an honorable mention selection. Three CMU players earned gold gloves as top fielders at their positions. Caleb Farmer at third, Johnny Carr in the outfield, and first baseman Jordan Stubbings. 14th-ranked CMU faces CSU Pueblo once again this afternoon in the RMAC tournament, pregame at 2:45. For the first time in school history, the Central girls soccer team has won a postseason game. The Warriors defeated Holy Family 2-1 in overtime Wednesday in the 4A state tournament, marking the first time a boys or girls Central soccer team has won a postseason match. The Warriors' Liana Bryant scored both goals for 22nd and 23rd of the season. Central plays at top seed Windsor this Saturday. We'll talk with Warriors coach Doug Beach coming up in a few minutes. The Mountain League champion Fruit of Monmouth boys lacrosse team is moving on in the 5A state tournament. The Wildcats beat Dakota Ridge 13-12 in overtime, and they'll play at Mountain Vista this Saturday at 2 in the second round. We'll talk with Kevin Costanza, their coach, at 9, and the Grand Junction boys lacrosse team lost to Ralston Valley 17-5 in the postseason to end their season. And that's
what's happening.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Jim of the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios on the Team Sports Network. Central girls soccer coach Doug Beach joins us next on the Team Sports Network.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa.
The Team, talking Central Warrior sports on the Jim Davis Show.
7:26, and we're going to talk some Central girls soccer with Coach Doug Beach. And Doug Beach, of course, his interview with us this morning brought to you by the Rick Nelson Agency and American Family Insurance. For a free comparison, call this team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078. And Doug Beach joins us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. Doug, I appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on this morning, and congratulations to you and your Central girls soccer team.
Well, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's a feat that has never been done in Central before, and we're really excited.
What, about 80-year history of the school? Soccer doesn't quite go back that far at Central High School, but first time ever that a Warriors soccer team, boys or girls, has won a postseason match. And, I mean, that's something that you put into that kind of historical perspective is something that I know you're on cloud nine today. Going to enjoy it right now, you and your girls, but not a lot of time to enjoy it for too long because it's Windsor coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, Windsor, number one seed. They won yesterday 10-0. They're a tough team from what I understand, but so are we. We have a good defense, and I think the defense is what's saving us.
Well, 2-1 win yesterday over Holy Family, and Liana Bryant, who has been an outstanding goal scorer for you this season. I believe got her 22nd, 23rd goals yesterday, getting the two goals in that win against Holy Family. She was coming off the bench for the Central girls basketball team, good contributor there, but she has been a real star for your girls soccer team this season.
Oh, that's for sure. She is just, seems like she has a magnet for that ball on her feet, and it's so hard to get her off the ball. You almost have to foul her to get her off the ball.
And we were talking about it earlier, that this team is really comprised of a lot of those players that played for Mary Doan, with Liana Bryant and others that are Lauren Spencer, Jasmine Hernandez, that were contributors on the basketball floor, also big contributors for your soccer team as well.
You know, Mary's done a great job with those girls, and she's actually taught them how to win. And that's something that, we're working on the soccer pitch. Just, how do you win a game? And, they have that installed from Coach Doan, and so kudos to her for, giving that insight for them.
Doug Beach, coach of the Central girls soccer team, Central winning their first ever boys or girls postseason soccer match with a 2-1 win over Holy Family yesterday in the 4A state tournament. And I know in the article in the local paper, there was the about the T-shirts that you have. Better than I was yesterday. And it certainly seems like, kind of feeding off what Mary's done with the basketball players that play for you, Doug, and then what you're doing with this team. Your players getting better every single day. And this team has just gotten better, it seems like, every match of the course of the season.
Yeah, you know, we constantly work on our weaknesses and kind of hone our strengths. But, yeah, these girls, they're so coachable, and, you know, they want to learn the game, and that makes it a lot easier.
Doug Beach, coach of the Central Girls Soccer Team, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. You guided Central to their last playoff berth back in 2009, decided to step away in 2011, and then decided to come back in 2021. What made you decide, Doug, that was the time to come back and coach again at Central High School?
Well, once I was looking at the situation, the girls had four different coaches in 4 years. There was just no stability. There was a new system every time. They needed some stability. And so that's when I just decided to throw my hat in the ring and see if they would hire me. And sure enough, they did. And, you know, and then the rest is history. I just love the game, and I love to teach the game. And that's where we're at right now.
Doug Beach, Central Girls Soccer Coach, with us today on the Team Sports Network. When you look at, you know, I mentioned better than the day before, the mantra that's on the shirts of your players. Give me a couple of players that, you know, we've talked about your standouts like Liana Bryant and others, but maybe a player or two that you've really seen that really become the truth for them, that they really have. They started out being a player that maybe is a fringe varsity player, but has turned into a more of a contributor for your soccer team this season. I'm sure you got a couple of players that have developed like that over the course of the last of this season and even last year as well.
Yeah, I mean, right up top of my head, Elizabeth Stice. You know, she had her own goal off of a fluke spinning ball yesterday, but then there was a one-on-one situation with about. Right before we scored the golden goal, she came through and swept the ball away from a one-on-one with our keeper, saved us. She, you know, she's just, her speed and her coachability is just awesome. Marini Robles, she's started out in JV. Now she's a central part of our defense now. We just have a lot of young talent that have just really blossomed under, I wouldn't be able to be here without my coaching staff too, and I need to say that. I mean, I have a great, I have two assistant coaches that are really, really well-versed, experience in the game, both coaching and playing, and that kind of helps.
Doug Beach, coach of the Central Girls Soccer Team, with us. Score off against the top seed Windsor coming up this weekend. No time has been set for that, correct, Doug?
I think it's 10 a.m.
Okay, it's going to be 10 o'clock at Windsor this weekend. They're coming off the 10-1 win over Skyview in the first round. And Ella Moody's their leading scorer. She's got 11 goals in the season. But just looking at their scores this year, Doug, a lot of shutouts, really good goaltending, and it seems like, kind of like what you talked about, your team being a good defensive team, it sounds like the same can be said about the Windsor Wizards as well, a really good defensive team you'll face on Saturday.
Yeah, and that's what we're trying to work on, these penetrating killer passes through their back line. We've been working on that all season. The team that Holy Family lost to them 1-0. So, I mean, it is a winnable game, and that's what I'm trying to convince the girls. It is a winnable game. If Holy Family, you know, we beat Holy Family 2-1, and they lost to Windsor 1-0. So, I mean, you know, that's why we play the game, because we want to, you know, we want to know who the better team is, and I think we have a shot.
Doug Beach, Central Warriors girls soccer coach, with us today on the Team Sports Network, and Doug, you know, along with that, I mean, them being the top seed, but also, you know, getting your girls to believe they can win, and I think you have every reason to go over there, compete, and have a chance to win on Saturday, but also probably finding a way to go, okay, it's great, we accomplished something historic in terms of Central soccer history. That's fantastic. We now have to set that aside, and we got to focus on beating Windsor. We don't want this to end yet. It's great to celebrate history, but you also got to find a way to put this last win against Holy Family aside rather quickly.
Oh yeah, I mean, one of the things I tell the girls, yesterday's done. We got to just focus on tomorrow. You know, so that game is behind us. You know, we rode the emotions all night last night. We didn't get home until 1 a.m. So, yeah, I mean, that's been the just, you know, you make a mistake on the pitch, you just move on because nobody's perfect and we just move on.
Hey, Doug, I appreciate the time, especially the early call this morning to join us in the program. Congratulations on what's already been a sensational season. Great historic win for your program yesterday, and hopefully a little more history, a trip to the next round after a win against Windsor on Saturday. We're, of course, pulling for you here to go over there and get a victory against Windsor. I appreciate the time, Doug. Thanks again, and once again, congratulations on the big win against Holy Family.
Yeah, it feels good to be in the Sweet 16. So, yeah, well, thank you very much, and thanks for your time.
Take care. Doug Beach, coach of the Central Girls Soccer Team. I mean, that's in the Sweet 16. You got to love that, right, if you're Central?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you've accomplished something that has never been accomplished in either side, boys or girls, mm-hmm. in Central soccer history.
You're the first one ever. You're always going to be the first one. You know, no matter what happens Saturday, next year.
Nobody's going to take that away from
kids,
you. Yeah,
you'll always be the first soccer team to win a playoff game at Central.
Which, that's incredible stuff. I mean, you look at how the Central girls basketball team's been mm-hmm. the last couple of years under Mary. A postseason team that got, the final Elite Eight?
They got it to Sweet 16, maybe? Maybe Elite Eight?
I think they got Elite Eight the season before, I believe. Made that deep run.
Mm-hmm.
And made the state tournament again this past season. And
again,
so,
with some of the same girls that are on this soccer team.
Same girls on the soccer team. So some really good things building out there at Central High School, some of the talent they have in girls basketball and also on the soccer field as well. All right, 7:36. So mentioned Fertile Monument Boys lacrosse team. They won yesterday to beat Dakota Ridge in overtime. We'll talk with Kevin Costanza about that coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. Chris Hanks will join us as well, Maverick skipper, and that'll be 8:20 this morning. We'll talk with Chris Hanks about the Mavericks win against UCCS, a thrilling game last night that you had the pleasure to call last night, Buckeye over at Bergman, and today it's CSU Pueblo here on the team for the Mavericks, 2:45 pregame for that one, brought to you by Ken Richards State Farm Insurance. So Chris Hanks will join us coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. CMU baseball coach. All right, 7:37, and it's time for soundcheck.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have, Buckeye?
Well, Terry Lovello with the Arizona Diamondbacks doesn't seem like he's been there very long, and even though they have a World Series in their history, Lovello is now the franchise's winningest manager in history. Did that earlier this week. And I got this from Jenny Kavnar. She shared it on Twitter. And she put on that, again, football does a lot of these moments, and baseball would be better served to have more of these in the clubhouse locker room type moments shared with the public. Maybe.
Possibly.
That was a good lead up. Dang, that was good.
That was good.
Corey, since he got here the first day, and look at this smile, the same smile. It's amazing how you turn this clubhouse on. Like, you make this clubhouse a family. All the hard work that you put on, trust all the way you do your stuff, it's paying off right now. And for me, it's an honor to be part of the journey that we're doing right now. Setting all the franchise records, it's not just happened like that. And I'm really happy for you, man. And that's why, like, we're playing hard for you, because you give everything to us. So congratulations again, and love you, man.
Played for a couple different managers before you got here, but things changed when you got here. You know, we've had some up and down years, but you've stuck with us every step of the way. Every one of these wins was celebrated together as a group and with you. You've always had our back. Right? Every person in this room feels that and knows that, and we appreciate that about you. So we got the ball. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Torrey Lovello. Very cool video. A couple of Diamondbacks talking about, you know, how he's kind of turned that team around. They're not great, right?
110 losses last year.
Yeah.
But they're playing really well right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, took 2 out of 3 against the Rockies.
Their starting pitching is really good now.
Yeah, it really is. Andy with a text. Andy's kind of in my doghouse right now. Cracking on us for picking up groceries at the pickup. We still have to go.
Us?
Okay,
dragging
me.
On you.
Me.
First of
well,
all.
Well, I mean, I was meaning Kenda and myself, actually.
Oh, okay,
actually.
Okay.
Not so much you.
Then I was involved in
that,
too. I
mean, come, yeah, no. Because Kenda goes and gets the groceries at Walmart probably more often than I do. Mm-hmm. I do go on occasion. But his crack about that yesterday.
Yeah.
And his go Giants today. I always thought Mick was the better Zansky brother, to be quite honest.
Hey, but just remember, Andy's always ready to umpire. If a game breaks out in the Cube Farm, he's ready to go.
Oh, Andy, you know I love you, man. You know I do. I love you and Mick equally. You're both my favorite Zansky boys. Just kidding, Andy.
If you run into Andy, he may be wearing that bright baby blue umpire shirt. You never know.
Up. Give it. Okay. I'm going
no, no,
from,
no.
I'm going
you from, can't now turn around and defend him.
Okay, that's probably true after I was upset about the grocery pickup comment.
You got to pick one, at least for this
okay.
segment.
I'm going to stay with you on it then, okay? Stay yep. with you. But I still love you, Andy. Still love you, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's good, dude. I just have to give a little grief today. I'm in Robert.
You remember when he texted in the other day, see, I do listen to the show?
Okay.
Apparently not.
Because the Rockies are not going to pay players like the Yankees. They're just not. You have to get players have to want to come to Colorado.
And even if they offered that, if the player says no, it's not on the...
They can't make them, like you said, the reserve clause has been gone for a long time.
Yeah.
You can't make them come there. You cannot force them to go there. They're
they
a free agent.
They have to sign.
Yes. As a free agent, they have the choice. They can take less money and go someplace else if they want to. If they don't think it's a good fit. The Rockies, like we've talked about, payroll-wise,
mm-hmm.
they are not in the bottom half of the league. They're not like 25th, 26th. They're usually in that, what? Yeah, sometimes in the top 15, but usually
10 to 15. They're 17 this year.
17 this year. So it's not like they're cheap. They spent $182 million on Chris Bryant, who continues to have the back problem, which is not good. Stop it. And then once again, another reference about the shave and the haircut thing. Oh, please. Please. Robert, this will be the last time that we comment on shaving a haircut, and that's going to win the Rockies 10 more games, and that they aren't spending enough money or they're not trying hard enough to get free agents. They need to throw more money at them. Stop it.
You can text it every day. We're not going to read
it
anymore.
You can text that in every single day, and if that's going to be your text, I will not read it again because you have beat that drum extremely hard. I think we've answered both of those questions on this program. So mark it. Mark the tape. 7:42 on May 12th.
Yeah.
No more comments about haircuts and shaves and that the Rockies need to throw money at free agents like the Yankees do.
One of those is a bad take. The other one is a really,
really bad take. But thank you for listening, Robert. I do appreciate that. I
yeah,
do.
Yeah, sure.
I do. All right, 7:42. Coming up next, you'll hear from Chris Hanks after the win, the incredible comeback last night against UCCS. That's on the way next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
I'm a big sports addict.
I like sports.
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 This is the Jim Davis Show on the Team. 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction. 102.1 FM, Delta Montrose.
Welcome back. 7:46, Jim and the Buckeye Boy. Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. All right, so got some thoughts about the NFL schedule release tonight. The rumor is, Mile High Report, Broncos at Seattle in the primetime Sunday night game to open the season. So, what do you think, Broncos country? I would think that would intrigue you, would it not? Russ going back to Seattle, Drew Lock possibly starting against the Broncos, though. I was reading something the other day from Pete Carroll. As much as he was gushing about Drew Lock being the first quarterback taken in the draft this year, and that Geno Smith kind of has the Geno Smith has kind of the inside track on that job at the moment. He started some games last year when Russ was hurt,
mm-hmm.
and because of that, because he's had some experience in that offense, They have Jacob Eason.
He's been around for a while, too.
Jacob Eason's there, too. And so he kind of has the inside track on that job. They're like, they have no interest in Baker Mayfield whatsoever. And so it's going to be Locke or Geno Smith probably starting against the Broncos. Rockies lose again to the Giants. 10 straight now. Colorado Mesa baseball. Big win last night over UCCS. Taking down the team that knocked them out of the tournament last year. Mavericks with a 7-6 win last night. Julian Boyd throws a runner out at home. Then delivers the base-winning hit as the Mavericks get the win last night. Do you have something you want to comment on? Because you have that, I know you well enough. You got that look on your face that you want. Can you read it or something you want to read?
So I can read it.
Okay.
This is from Jim. I think the Rockies would win 10 more games if they didn't wear the black eye paint during games. I think the Rockies would win 2 more games than they always win if they wear their pants knicker style. As always, good work, Jim.
Solid, Jim. That's a good one.
Steve with the Mattingly. I thought I told you to cut those sideburns from Mr. Byrne.
Mattingly, those sideburns are way too long.
So, and Jared says, get 4 or 5 power hitters and go back to the Blake Street Bombers. At least they were fun to watch. That's true.
That's part of the reason they got Randall Grichuk, though, right? Was guy that provided more pop. And
Grichuk, Bryant.
Bryant, that's supposed to be. It only works, though, if Grichuk's hitting home runs, which he's not hit nearly enough.
Bryant's back lets him swing a bat at all.
Exactly. CJ Krohn continues to be really, really good for the Rockies, but you know, and give Jose Iglesias some credit. Jose Iglesias some credit on this road trip.
Give old Josie.
Oh, Josie. He was one of the few guys that actually didn't hit home runs. That's not what he does, but actually had a decent offensive road trip for Colorado.
I mean, he's still hitting .319. Jonathan Daza's actually had a good start to the season.
Yeah. But the wheels have come off the wagon, though, on this road trip. No doubt about it. All right, so let's get back to the Colorado Mesa Mavericks. They get the win over UCCS last night in the RMAC tournament. And after the game, Vern McGee, who did the game with you last night, Vern went down to talk with the skipper, Chris Hanks.
Coach Hanks, what a great effort by your team. Great win. Just battled the whole way through. Again, a lot of base runners late in the game, but you got some big hits there late on. Tell us about your team's effort tonight.
Well, I love our guys. Incredible character within this group, and I really wasn't that worried. We knew the Cowles kid. He beat us last year in the conference tournament. He's one of the best pitchers in the conference, and when he's on, he's tough. So I just figured we had to get to 5 runs to beat him, and so we were just talking, well, let's get to five. Then we had to get to 6, but our guys battled. We hit into a lot of hard outs, and they were pecking us to death, and that's baseball. And, you know, our guys played pretty loose. I'm proud of them.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, too, your bench players coming up big with the Boyd throwing him out at the plate, getting the hit at the end. Also, Reynolds with the walk to get him over to third as well. Tell us about your bench.
Well, big walk, you know, the walk's huge because, you know, Julian Boyd is our best hitters with runners on. He has the highest batting average on the team when runners are on. When runners aren't on, he's not as good of a hitter, so that tells you about how he elevates his game. But before that, the walk is huge. Stevenson has had a little trouble this year being too aggressive and swinging at early borderline pitches and hitting into outs. And we've discussed it, but he's growing up. You know, he's going to be our first baseman next year. And, you know, he's a super athlete, competitive kid, but our bench has been good most of the year.
Yeah, the average is coming off the bench is just impressive. Hey, Coach, good luck tomorrow. Okay. Who do you got tomorrow?
I think we're 3:00. I think Pueblo.
All right. It is Pueblo. CSU Indeed. Pueblo, who they swept the series against last weekend over at Bergman. 2:45 pregame, 3:00 first pitch. Harrison Rogers, 3-hit night last night. Your repeat RMAC player of the year, Hayden McGeary, just 4 for 5.
Not bad.
Just a couple of ribbies, home runs, scored 3 runs last night. Not too shabby. Yeah, but
flattened the side of one baseball.
But Julian Boyd was the guy that was the hero of the night. Even though Hayden had a monster night, throws a runner out at home, c- comes up with a base winning hit off the bench in the ninth inning. An incredible job. Mentioned Stevenson Reynolds working a walk, former Palisade Bulldog there in Stevenson Reynolds. So I mentioned that Cooper Vasquez gets the win in relief. Cannon Andy, 5 1/3 last night, 9 hits, gave up 5 runs, all earned, 5 walks and 5 strikeouts. Gage Edwards comes in, gives up 3 hits and a run in an inning of work. And then a little Goose Gossage-ish effort from Cooper Vasquez, 2 2/3 last night. A little bit of a long relief situation for him last night, as gives up a couple of hits, no runs, couple of walks, 6 strikeouts, though, for Cooper Vasquez to get the win in relief. He improves to 5-3. Jonathan Cowles, who beat them last year, had that incredible effort. 7 1/3, 12 hits, 5 runs all earned, 5 strikeouts and a walk last night, as the Mavericks were able to get to him a little bit in that game.
Yeah, it seemed like he kind of talked himself into staying. There's a mound visit, bottom of the 7th. He kind of talked himself into staying. And we're like, okay, he's got that last hitter, got him out. Mavs stranded a couple guys on base, and then that'll do it for him. And then he comes out in the 8th inning, and he gets a single, allows a single, gets an out, and then the Mavericks, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys in a row, singles right up the middle. They were starting to dial him in, and then they made the pitching change, but it was kind of too late. The Mavs had momentum at that point, and they ultimately end up coming back to win in the 9th.
So yesterday, the other games, the 5th seed, Colorado School of Mines, they knock off the number 2 seed Regis. Upset yesterday, 4-0. Taylor White hit a home run for Colorado Mines. Why that's significant, his dad, Joe White, great pitcher at Mesa back in the day, back in the 80s. And I actually talked to Joe for a few minutes yesterday. But Mines goes on for the win, 4-0 over Regis. Metro State, the 3 seed, they down the 4 seed, CSU Pueblo, 4-2 yesterday. So Mines moves on, stay in the winner's bracket, likewise for Metro State yesterday as well. And action continues today over at the Diamond at the Bergman Sports Complex today. First game at 11 o'clock. Try to get this your first game of the day for that one.
Believe that's Regis and UCCS.
I believe that is correct. And then don't forget the Mavericks at 3 o'clock today on the team. Pregame at 2:45. Brought to you by Ken Richards State Farm Insurance. They take on CSU Pueblo.
Then Mines, Metros, and ICAP.
All right. So that's all the action over at Bergman today. I want to mention one thing, too. We mentioned that Aiden McGarry is the repeat RMAC Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. Paige Adair from the CMU softball team, your South Central Region Pitcher of the Year. Congratulations to her. And Allie Bradford, from the Mavericks. She was named to the first team for the South Central Region team. So congratulations to them. Hour